Testing, testing. There you go.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Good to be in the house. We're going to Bible straighten out here in a minute. I'm excited about the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for having this opportunity. Thank Pastor Lisa. And, you know, we talk about trusting in Jesus this morning. You know, how we toil. We'll get in a story about Peter after a while, but we toil with problems, and we have problems as Christians. We all do it. We toil all night, you might say, or a week or so. We say, what are we going to do? But see, in self, we're not going to do anything. But through Jesus Christ, that's what we're going to do. Yeah. We go to Him. He's our Savior. But He has provided so much, but we don't reach out and accept it. We sit around, and I'm saying me too, okay? But we reach around, and we just accept whatever comes every day. But if we can look to Him and see what He has for us, the blessings He has, but sometimes we look at the blessings and not the giver of the blessing. And we don't think about the grace God has on our life and the mercy. There's a difference between living under the law and living in grace. That's not my topic. It's a little bit extra this morning. But anyways, we live under the law. You're bound to do things. There's a demand with it. But in grace, Jesus says it's free, just for your taking. Yep. Whatever you want to do, it's yours. There's no cost to it, nothing. But we struggle with by doing it ourselves. There's a lot of penalties to it and a lot of things we've got to protect. We get things in life we need or want, and we get to the top. You get that good job. You get that nice house, new car. You get that trophy wife or trophy husband, whichever it may be. But anyways, you get that, and we think we've got everything. But, you know, then we're not happy because we've accomplished what we wanted, but we're really not happy. And don't get me wrong. These things are all nice. But how do we handle them? Do we handle them with, in a respect where we know who it came from? We look back and say, well, God, I praise you and worship you for what you give me. That's who creates the blessings. So if we can see it that way, I think we'll all be better. I know I've been in a situation before where if I just listened to God, I'd been a lot better. Things would have been a lot less. I wouldn't have worried all week. But anyways, I'm going to be speaking a little bit this morning on chapter 21 of John about Peter. It's sort of a conversation between Peter and Jesus. And go back a little bit. It talks about the resurrection where Jesus was crucified, took to the tomb, and Mary came and said he was missing. So the disciples run to the tomb real quick. And, of course, Peter, he was dragging along, but the rest of them were all there ahead of him. So anyways, when they got there, he was gone. So can you imagine following a man for 3.5 years, one that wasn't like that well? And all of a sudden, he's gone. You give up everything you had, follow him. But as Peter, you know, Peter was a fisherman. That was his profession. And, of course, back in those days, today I don't know how rugged fishermen are, but back in those days, fishermen were rugged, could really care about things, you know, and they handled themselves pretty rugged. They had vulgar language. They were a mess. Of course, you can imagine a bunch of men like that being on a boat and back in those days. But that was the way they made a living. And now you're following someone that's really not liked that much, and you're giving up. He wants you to give up everything you've got to follow him. Would you do it today? Think about it. Would you do it? I don't know. That's a thought. But he wants us to follow him and do what he asks of us, and he's there to bless us abundantly. And just like Peter, when they walked away from the tomb, they were all discouraged, and they probably didn't know what to do. I've given my job up, given my work up. Now, what am I going to do? What is next for me? But as Peter said to the 6 of the disciples, he said, I'm going fishing. I guess he would get back into his profession he had before. And when he left, he took 6 of them with him, and they went back and started fishing. Well, you know a lot of the story, but anyways, they weren't doing very good. And I guess their thoughts wasn't really on fishing when they got there. I guess my thoughts have been on what I'm going to do for a living now. The man I followed 3.5 years, is gone. They thought he was gone. So what do I do now? Do I find something else to do? Go back to my old profession? What do I do? And that's what we are like. If something happens in life and we say, Jesus, what am I going to do? And he tries to explain to us what to do, but we want to go our own way. I don't have you like I am. Sometimes I just go my own way, do what I want to do. And then I suffer later on because I think, why did I do this? You know, why didn't I listen? That little small voice, Jesus speaking to you, is what we need to listen to. And as we walk with Jesus, his grace and mercy is so abundantly. I can't believe how good it is and how great he is to us. You look at yourself, how healthy you are. Look at you got all your arms and legs and feet, toes. Think how healthy you are. We've all, and even when you get a little sniffle, you say, oh, my Lord, I'm getting sick. Not really. But, you know, Jesus wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be good. He wants us to have a blessed life. That is his purpose in life. And, you know, he loved Peter. Peter fell a lot. He fell by the wayside and blundered, but Jesus still loved him because he had that grace. And as Peter seen this, he still fell by the wayside sometimes. He just couldn't comprehend that Jesus could love him so much. But Jesus had conversations with him time and time again. And then when he went out back out, went fishing, he caught nothing. And I guess that's a miserable day, isn't it? You don't catch anything. I'm not a fisherman, but still these two guys are. There you go. So I guess that was his profession. But anyways, I guess they thought, man, it's a discouraging day. Nothing caught, not even a fish. But then this man on the bank hollered out and said, you catch anything? Called them children. You children? Caught anything? And they said, no. At the time, I don't think they really recognized who that was. I don't know why, but I guess he changed a little bit to them. But he said, well, why don't you cast your net on the other side? And, you know, hardhead, I guess they thought. They probably thought, who is this guy to tell me how to fish? I've been doing it all my life. Who is this guy to tell me what to do? But they did it. And they got so many fish, 157, I think, 153 brought them in. But anyways, tell how Jesus provides for us. He had already had a fire burning on the bank, had fish on the fire, had bread. He had breakfast ready. That's a good breakfast, isn't it? But he was ready to go. And here they are laboring out there because they weren't listening to him. Walked away discouraged. And probably still, and you know, if your mind's not on what you're doing, you're just helter-skelter, just put it that way. So I think they got their mind together. And when they finally decided to follow his leadings, they threw this net over and drew all his fish. But he said, bring the net in, guys. Yep. Brought them in. They couldn't hardly drag them in. But the net didn't break. The net held. Because Jesus made that net held. He wanted the fish brought in. He wanted to prove a point to them that he was in control, not them. So I don't know where the boat came from. You know, they'd give up their profession. Maybe he kept it in case he wanted to think about going back into that job or something. I don't know what happened. I don't have that part of the story, but anyways. But they did obey. And then Jesus, you know, and over in, I think it is Luke 4, 8, and 10, when Peter seen that Jesus was right what he told him, he said to him, he said, I'm a sinner, Lord. He cried, and he got on his knees and cried and said, I'm a sinner, Lord. And Jesus said, one day you're going to be, instead of fish, you're going to be drawing people. See, Jesus had a plan for his life. And Peter didn't realize at the time, but Jesus was in his life, in control of him, and Peter still didn't realize it. But he felt he's a sinner. But see, as so many times we feel when we do something wrong, that we lost it all. We haven't. Jesus didn't say one little thing you do wrong, you're done. That's what the grace comes in for. That's where the grace and mercy of God comes in. So we can't say that it's all over. And don't get scared. If you do something wrong, or if you feel you're not living properly at the time, don't give up. Don't give in to the enemy. Reach out and say, Jesus, I need your help. That's all you got to do. And he's there every time. He was there for Peter. I know Peter probably upset him sometime, but he was there for him. He was there for all the disciples. And John even put his head on his chest and wanted to know about it. And he loved John, one of his disciples. But we're never going to be in a place that we feel we ought to be. We're always striving to get there, striving to get there, striving to get more, striving to move on with God. And I think Peter loved Jesus. I think he really cared about him, but he just wasn't at the place Jesus wanted him at. Yep. And that's where we're at. Sometimes we're just not where Jesus wants us, and he allows something to happen to us. He didn't create them, but he allows it. But when we reach out to him and talk to him, then things are solved and things are worked out. But we can't work things out on ourselves. Peter knew that. But he tried, but he knew he wasn't going to do it. So Jesus had a lot of work for him. As we get into the other scriptures here in a few minutes, he had a lot of work for him to do. And Peter just didn't understand the time. And there, we get over into verse 15, I think it is, in chapter 21. Jesus is trying to tell Peter about loving him. And Peter didn't understand the love. Peter had the love for a brother, not the agape love. Jesus wanted him to say, he wanted him to leave you to have the agape love, to love him back. Because that's how Jesus is loving us, through agape love. And I have a couple things about here's what I want to read. Okay. In Greek words, there's five different things they use for love. One of them is ludus. That's a play for a flirting love. Another one is eros, physical, and intimate. That's pretty much marriage love. Phila, that's love you like a brother. And this is the one right there, phila. I think I'm saying that right. Phila. That's the one that Peter was using in verse 15 through 17. He was using the phila, which is like a brotherly love. It wasn't like Jesus was using the other one, which was agape. That's the most holy love you can have, the most precious love there is. And that's what Jesus was using. He was trying to explain to Peter, I want you to love me with the agape love, not just with phila love like brotherly. Like Peter was telling Jesus, I've got your back. That's the kind of love he was talking about. Peter was. But Jesus kept saying in verse 15, do you love me? Peter said, in other words, if you say use that love, he say phila. That's how he loved him, as a brother, trying to watch his back, take care of him. But Jesus wanted more than that, and that's why he asked him again. Said in verse 16, I think, of John, said, "Do you love me?" He said, "You know I love you, Lord." In other words, verse 1, he said, "You know I love you," but his love was a brotherly love, not a love of the most holy love there was. And Jesus wanted him to say that, but he couldn't say that. He said, you know I love you. He didn't say, I love you, Jesus. He said, you know I love you, Lord. But Jesus wanted him to say, I love you, Jesus. There's a difference. I can tell Arlene, I love you, or she might say, oh, yeah, right. But if I say it with that agape love, I really, really love you. That's what Jesus wants us to say to him. We're praying. He wants to choose that holy love, the highest love you can ever find. And he still couldn't get Peter to understand that. And in verse 17, he said to him again, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He's getting a little aggravated now. But he's done asking twice. But see, he never got that true love that he wanted to get out of him. So when he said, you know I love you, he still never said, I love you, Jesus. And I think that's how we are today. We say, I love you, Lord. Do you love me? Do you really love me? You think you ever asked us that? In that small voice, you think he ever says that to us? I'm looking for a love you're not giving. And you know why? Because Peter wasn't there yet. He was not there yet. He didn't have it in him. So you can't produce something you don't have in you. So that's why Jesus says, pray and seek me. Seek my face. Because I want more of you, and you need more of me. And you know, I'm so thankful for Jesus today, that what he's done, the way he blessed me throughout the years, it's not just financial. It's just spiritual. It's everything. And I'm not the most perfect person around. I don't tell you that. But anyway, it's one of those things that we have to really grasp him and grasp the word of God and say, this is what I want, Jesus. I want you, more of you than anything else I've got. No, he's not going to take it from you. He can leave you have it, all those. And see, we get our mind set on material things, and it messes our spiritual life up. But we can have all this together under him. But Jesus said, Peter, well, as I'm repeating in 17, he said, Peter, do you love me? But he just could not say it. Didn't have it. Didn't have it inside of him. How can we say things to Jesus we don't have inside of us? How do we speak to him? We don't have it in us. And that's what he says. Get my word within you so you can speak it out. I've learned a lot this week just studying this little scriptures here about things. And I realize there's things in me I don't have in me to answer by. But I know I'm growing, Jesus knows that, and I'll be at that place one day. But as a Christian, we need to strive to satisfy him, because he is our only one, our only thing around. But Peter realized that, I don't have it, Lord. I just don't have it. I'm treating you as a brotherly love. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, no, I love you. Lord, you know I love you. But he couldn't get that out. I'm amazed at that. He could not get that out. After all he'd been through, he could not get that out. I love you. So Jesus said, feed my sheep in those verses. So what Jesus wanted him to do is feed his people. He had a lot of work for him to do. He had a lot of things he lined up he wanted him to do, a lot of things ahead of him that Peter probably didn't realize. And Peter was thinking, well, what's it so important about me telling him I love him? Because Jesus wanted to see how much responsibility he'd give him. So as in later years, you'll see where he was able to transition to the agape love. I'll get into that later on. But he did realize later that where Jesus is coming from in these three verses. But Jesus talks to him, and you know, back when they had other conversations, and he told Jesus he was a sinner, Jesus didn't mind that. He didn't pay attention to that. He knew he wasn't. He knew he was there to take care of him. And he'd walked with him 3.5 years. He had answered all the disciples' needs and all this stuff. But now, man, you're on your own. That's like you hold a job, and all of a sudden you lose your job. And you're depending on a job for your life, rest of your life. And all of a sudden, gone. Now what do you do? Do you look to the world? I don't think so. In fact, I know not. Because the world will not give you anything but trouble. But as a Christian, you look to Jesus Christ, our author, finisher of our faith. And he walks with us every day. We just need to realize, wake up and realize the importance of serving him. And you know, I think about this love also. You know, in families and stuff, people say, their last comment, I love you. Is it a habit? Or is there true meaning behind it? You hear a lot of people do that. I love you. Well, is it for real? I don't know. Is it? They may think it is, and maybe it's just a habit. But when Jesus tells you he loves you, when you're praying and you're seeking God, riding along on the highway, he says, Sam, I love you. That's for real. Yep. That's that agape love. So as Peter moved on from all this, Jesus over in, I think it's Hebrews chapter 1. Now, he'd already, after all this, he went on to speak to thousands of people, and people accepted Christ through all of that. He went through all this, and he spoke to hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands. Why? Because he had finally realized what that agape love was all about, and he realized the relationship with Jesus, what it was all about. He knew that was his only way in life, through Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews 1, I think it's 1:22, since by your obedience to the truth through the Holy Spirit, you have purified your hearts for the sincere affection of the brethren. Love one another fervently from a pure heart. A pure heart. When our heart is pure, we love with no strings attached. And that's what the grace of God is, with no strings attached. He says, I love you. I'm going to meet your needs. No strings attached. You don't owe me a thing. Just devote your life to me. That's it. You don't have to wait, work for it. Under the law, we work for everything. And then we struggle trying to do this and do that. But when Jesus is laying back, he's saying, come on now. I'm giving you a break. It's easy. Just follow my orders. Ask me what you want. And then here it is. And no strings attached. I'm not charging anything. Nothing am I going to hold against you. But we want to dabble in the world a little bit and try to get everything we can from them. And it's just false love. It is. And we all work out in a system every day. Most of us do. It's tough out there sometimes. But if you're a Christian, it makes it a lot easier. And Peter realized as he found the pure heart, he knew as he was preached to thousands, he knew what Jesus was talking about back then. He now was at the place he could accept this. He could receive it because he knew that God was in control of his life and was trusting him with a lot of people and feeding his church. Okay, and it's in First Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Show respect for all men, treat them honorably, love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God, honor the emperor. Do we honor God? Do we honor him in the way he needs to be honored? I see the world take Jesus in a different light. You know, you talk to them about the Lord, yeah, they understand. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. No, they don't. They walk away just dumbfounded as it was before you started. And I've seen when I try to minister to people on jobs and stuff, you don't beat people over the head, but I've seen that. And they like, yeah, I'm listening, but I'm really not listening. I'm not hearing. Sometimes did you ever think that we're listening to Jesus but not hearing? We're listening, we hear his voice, but we really don't listen to what hear what he's saying. I think I do it sometimes too around the house. I'm listening, but I'm not hearing. Maybe some of us do it too, I don't know. But anyways, sometimes we tune out what we don't want to hear too. And you know, sometimes when Jesus tells us he wants us to speak to somebody, we tune it out because we get that nervous feeling like, I don't really want to do that. But the blessings that comes with it as we obey, the obedience to Jesus, all kind of blessings come with it. And there isn't anything that I can say that I've never asked Jesus to have him give it to me. But there's responsibility comes with that too. Every blessing has a responsibility for you to look at. You take care of it. Sometimes blessings are good, but they can turn to a place where they're not really good because we don't know how to handle them. We get blessings or financial gains and this, and sometimes we don't know how to handle it. And Jesus said, I've given you this, hoping you could handle the situation, hoping that you could protect it or do what you think is right with it. I've done my part. Now you do your part. Take care of it. Honor me. But Jesus this morning wants all of us to be who we are, not somebody else. Don't try to be somebody else. You can't do it. You cannot be, I cannot sing like someone else. I don't sing much anyways. But I cannot sing like some of these famous singers. That's not me. That's just not me. So don't be somebody you're not. Be who you are and be proud of who you are. Because Jesus formed and made you, so you are who you are through him. No matter how you look, that's how he made you. You look good, you look bad, that's how he made you. He let you room for improvements. But anyways, go back to that. But I've seen people try to be somebody they're not, or try to copy their life after somebody else. You can't do it. Because then you're always nervous, you're always trying to make up, or you're always trying to, like if your neighbor's got something you're trying to get better than they have, you can't do it. Why should you? Be happy with what you have. Be content. Because Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. And he wants us to be what he wants us to be. Yep. And start treating our neighbors, our loved ones, with that agape love. The most holy love you can ever think of. And I know Jesus sometimes, he probably, this is my thoughts, he probably thinks, man, I'm discouraged with these people. Won't listen to a thing I tell them. They were getting in trouble and then we have to straighten them out. But he loves us, no matter what. You can't do a thing that he'll not love you. I don't care what you do in life, you can't do nothing that he won't love you. Why? Because that's under grace, the grace of God. That's not under the law. The law, you're going to pay a penalty. But under grace, you're not going to pay a penalty. And there's nothing, I mean, I can't express myself enough, nothing that you do that Jesus won't love you. You say, oh, I've committed this sin or that. Jesus loves you. He's still loving you no matter what. You feel horrible about it, but he still loves you. So I just look to him every day for strength and guidance. And I don't have a lot more this morning. I thank you for your attention. May it's been a little bit short. But I thank Jesus this morning for what he's given me. And I pray something might have stuck in your heart and mind. Maybe something from the word you've got. And pray everybody has a good week. Is anybody needs prayer this morning? Or anybody that needs a closer walk with Jesus, maybe needs us to pray with you. Don't be embarrassed. If you feel you're a little slack, you know, don't be embarrassed to come up for prayer. It's not a biggie. But Jesus is always there to meet your needs. Don't forget. You get up in the morning, be thankful when your feet hits that floor that you're healthy, that you're alive, that Jesus is in control of your life and of your day. I drive down the road, I say, Lord, you got my day today, because I don't know what I'll face today. And that little voice says, I got you. Not just your back, I got you totally. I love him today and praise him. Thank him for what he's given me already now, what he blesses with. And I love you. Thank you.